as we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, we join the psalmist right now in remembering that you are good. And because you are good, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our gathering. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our hearts. You're worthy of our lives. And so here we are to lift high your name, O Lord. Father, as we gather in this place, I'm mindful that the Orthodox Church is celebrating Easter today. And that means that many of our Ukrainian brothers and sisters, and even our Russian brothers and sisters, are leaning into the resurrected Jesus today, asking what it means for you to be alive in their midst, in the midst of war and strife. Would you offer them a special gift of your peace and your presence, O God? And Father, for those in our own church who are worshiping at retreat this morning, would you bless their worship? And for those who are scattered just here and there, may you bless them where they are. We lift our voices to you in this place, joining so many others who love you too. And we ask that you would fill our hearts as we do so. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28, and then we're going to jump to Luke 24, and then we're going to jump to John 20. So we get to read all kinds of fun things today. Matthew 28 verses 6 through 9. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Still Matthew 28, now verse 16 and 17. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now flip over to Luke chapter 24, verses 28 to 31. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Still Luke 24, verse 36. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then flip over to John chapter 20, verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And finally, John 21, verse 4. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Would you pray with me? And now, Jesus, our desire is for our eyes to see you as they saw you, for our ears to hear you as they heard you, for our hearts to encounter you, our risen Savior, as the hearts of these women and these disciples encountered you. As you were with them, you are with us by your Spirit. And so help us, O Lord, through the gift of your word, encounter you, our beloved Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever lost someone? Remember being a little kid in the grocery store, and you'd go up to tug on the pant leg of who you thought was your parent. Then you'd look up and realize it was a stranger. Remember that feeling? Or if you're a parent, do you ever lose your child in the store, in the mall? What do you do when you lose someone? Start panic first, make phone calls, run around in circles, look behind clothes and in the refrigerator aisle. You run their favorite places. You go and go until you find them. Have you ever been lost? My friend Kara tells a story about her first trip as a young adult to the Puyallup Fair, ventured out of Mason, Kitsap County area. And they left the fair after a concert, had a great time. She's not known for her sense of direction. And driving home and realized when she got to Everett that maybe she'd made a wrong turn. Called her dad and said, "How do I get home? Where are you?" "I don't know." Then she had to ask somebody, "Where am I?" "You're in Everett." Ever been lost? What do you do when you get lost? Pull out the GPS, find a map, call your dad. Ask somebody, "Where am I?" Roam around till we see something familiar. Keep going till we get found. But have you ever felt like maybe you lost Jesus? Not your salvation or anything, but just you lost him. Like no matter what you did, you couldn't figure out how to hear him or how to feel him or how to see him. It just was like you used to know this intimacy, this closeness with your Lord, and all of a sudden you just realize, no matter what I do, I just can't find him. I remember in my life, the year that I was into ministry, it began this year in my life where for one moment God had been so close and so intimate and speaking so audibly into my life, and then became this year where I felt like for the life of me, I couldn't find him. And I was praying more than ever. I was in seminary. I was digging into scripture. I was with friends trying to seek his heart together, and he just felt so far away. It felt like prayers were just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back to me, for I just couldn't find this Jesus that I had loved and that I had walked so closely with. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like you just couldn't find your Jesus? How'd you come out of it? How did you encounter him again? Today's stories, we meet a whole bunch of folks who were pretty sure they lost Jesus. I mean, they knew where he was, sealed up in a tomb somewhere. They thought that story was good and done. Their own hearts are grieving, trying to figure out how do we move forward now with things being as they are. And they begin to hear these little words around that he's arisen, he's alive, Jesus is back. in their own heart of hearts, they want to see him too, no doubt. And we see with the risen Jesus, those disciples and those ones that he loved, they got to see him first. When everybody else thought he was lost, they're the ones that got to see he's right here. And there are some really significant things from each of their stories that I think help me in my story and help you in your story when we're looking for our Jesus over and over again. Some sure ways that we will just keep finding him. We follow in the footsteps of our brothers and sisters. Matthew 28, we have these women coming to the tomb early in the morning, Mary and Mary. There's a lot of Marys back then. And two of those Marys are coming to the tomb early in the morning. And at the tomb, they see the angels. And the angels tell you, what are you looking for? Why are you looking for the dead among the living? He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. And the angel says, now quickly, you guys, go tell his disciples that he is alive. And these women, without any questions, without asking for, you know, more information, they take off to go and tell his disciples just as they had been told. And on their way, they've already left the tomb. They're not the disciples yet. On their way, Jesus shows up and says, greetings. Don't you love that? Greetings. And there he is. They found their Jesus. And then a few verses later, there's the disciples. So I guess the women got to them and told them where to hang out. So the disciples, it says, are gathered on the mountain in Galilee just as Jesus had told them to be. And lo and behold, in that place where Jesus had told them to be, here Jesus comes. Peace be with you. How do we find our Jesus when we're looking for our Jesus? We see in Matthew that the risen Jesus appears over and over again to folks who are on the path of faithfulness, already doing what he's asked us to do. Folks who are just hanging out where Jesus has already asked us to be. Sometimes we tend to get in these bad habits of just kind of sitting around and laying back and twiddling our thumbs and saying, I want to follow Jesus, I want to do what Jesus wants, but I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for God to tell me what he wants me to do. And then I'll walk with him. So for now, I'm just sitting back and I'm just waiting. And it turns out, just like Mary and just like the disciples, he's already given us a whole lot of information about where he hangs out and about what he wants us to do. We already know. We have a good hunch of what faithfulness with our Jesus looks like right here and right now. If we're not sure, we just start thumbing through the Gospels. We know that this faithful path where we will find our risen Jesus, it includes things like loving our enemies and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and caring for orphans and widows and loving our neighbors and praying fervently and using our gifts for the good of the body of believers and practicing hospitality and visiting prisoners and proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near and washing feet and singing spiritual songs and confessing sins and practicing gratitude and generosity. We know, we know what it means to be faithful. When we just sit back and say, I'm just waiting for God to tell me. He's like, I've told you. It's all over the scriptures. We know. We're looking for this new encounter with the risen Jesus. Sometimes all we've got to do is get busy with what we already know is faithful. Just walk this faithful path that God has put before us where he's already told us he's going to hang out. And we will find that resurrected Jesus somewhere between loving our enemies and washing some feet. He'll show up and say, greetings. Here I am. One of my favorite stories about Martin Luther King Jr. He had just come back from speaking at a church right in the midst of the civil rights movement, and things were intense, they were heated, and he was just pressing on in the civil rights work. And he's sitting at his home at midnight one night, and he's just exhausted, but he can't sleep. His family's all in bed. His phone rings, and he picks it up. And there's a voice on the other end that says, Martin, if you don't stop doing what you're doing, we're going to kill you and your entire family. And it hangs up. And Martin Luther King Jr. says in his kitchen that night, he cried out to his God and he said, "I feel so alone." He said, "I can't find you. I can't go on. I am totally alone." And Martin Luther King Jr. says in his kitchen that night, he heard the audible voice of his Jesus. And he said, "You are never alone, Martin. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Right in the midst of doing the work of faithfulness, lo and behold, there he heard the voice of his Jesus. We want to see the risen Jesus. We will meet him every single time as we're walking the path of faithfulness. He will meet us there and he will say, "Greetings." In Luke chapter 24, we have the story, The Road to Emmaus. I didn't read that one because it's longer. So I'm just going to give you the summary. You got two disciples, not the main ones, a guy named Cleopas, never heard of him till now, and another one that doesn't get named, maybe his wife. And it says that they are leaving Jerusalem, walking back to Emmaus. It's like a 7-mile walk. And they have been in Jerusalem, it seems, for the crucifixion of Jesus. They were his disciples at large. And they're walking home, and they, as you can imagine, they are sad, they're depressed, they're dejected. They have no idea what's going to come of them. They've seen their Savior, their hope, killed. They're walking, and they're talking, heading back to their old life as usual. And lo and behold, this stranger, joins them on the path. He says, "Hey, what are you guys talking about? And are you the only one who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem this week?" The stranger says, "What? What are you talking about? What happened in Jerusalem this week? Jesus was messing with them. It's awesome." And they say about Jesus of Nazareth, how they killed him, they crucified him. And he listens to them share their hearts. And then it says, this stranger who we know is Jesus, they don't, begins to open up the scriptures to them and tells them, "Well, don't you know that this Jesus of Nazareth guy, haven't you read your own scriptures? Don't you know that the law and the prophets said that this had to happen, that he was going to die and he was going to raise again?" And they still don't know it's Jesus. And then they finally get home, 7-mile walk. It takes a while. They finally get home and it's late. It's getting dark. And so they say to the stranger, "Hey, why don't you come and eat with us? Come and stay with us tonight." And he comes at the table. He picks up the bread and he breaks it. And in an instant, their eyes are open. They say, "Oh my goodness, that is Jesus." And just like that, he's gone. They see the risen Jesus. And then just a couple verses later, the rest of the disciples, the ones we actually are familiar with, the other 11, they get to see Jesus too. And they're all gathered together with one another, leaning on each other in this time of great need. And there in their little room gathered together, Jesus shows up. And he says, "Peace be with you." And he eats with them broiled fish. And then they delve into the scriptures together. If we ask Luke, "Hey, Luke, how do you find the risen Jesus?" He's like, "Well, these people found him in two ways. They found Jesus in Scripture, delving into it in community together." In both stories, Scripture opened their eyes to, "Oh my goodness, this is him. This is him." It's one of his favorite things to do, to show up and say, "Don't you see? It's always been all about me." And it was in Scripture being revealed in community. That's always the way it's done best. It's one of my very favorite things about this church is every other Thursday, our Good Shepherd group. It's been going on for, gosh, probably like 3 years now. And I tell you, in my heart of hearts, I have grown up in the church from being a nursery on, and I've been in every kind of church situation you can imagine. And there has never been anything in church more near and dear to my heart than the Good Shepherd group. Because there's like these dozen, 14, I don't even know, folks that join every other week, after having lived in one chapter of the Bible for 2 whole weeks, just one chapter, and let that chapter, we let it go deep into our heads and then deep into our hearts, and then we come to the table together and we begin this beautiful conversation around the table of what was God stirring, what questions did we ask, how did this scripture speak into our lives, what's it actually calling us into? And I tell you, every other Thursday for 3 years, I have encountered the risen Jesus reading scripture with his people, engaging. It's not a Bible study. It's not about our heads. We're engaging and with our hearts together. It's beautiful. Everyone should be there. It's the good stuff. Jesus reveals himself through scripture as it's read in his community. And then we always, you've heard this before if you've been here, we always find Jesus at the table. Those two in Emmaus, they didn't know it was Jesus till the bread was broken at the table. The disciples, they weren't convinced it was Jesus till he said, "How about some fish?" So you see that I'm not a ghost. I have real body now. At the table, something amazing happens at the table. Jesus has always loved the table. Before he's risen, we always find Jesus at the table. It's at the table that he always shows who he is. It's at the table that Jesus is anointed for his death. It's at the table that Mary sits at his feet and listens to his heart. It's at the table that he breaks the bread and pours the cup and reveals that he is the Lamb of God. It's at the table that he shows what he can do when he breaks bread and feeds 5,000 people. It's at the table that he shows us who we really are. That's where Zacchaeus gets to know that he is not despised, but he is seen and he is loved. It's at the table that tax collectors and sinners get to be called friends. It's at the table that everyone finds belonging. It's at the table that the poor are encouraged to come and find the very best seats. Everything is turned upside down, and everyone comes to life with Christ at the table. You just start looking in the Gospels before his death and after his death. Jesus loves to hang out at the table. Powerful things happen there every time his people gather around the table in his name. So if you've been at BCC for a little while, you see that we like the table around here. I always get sad when we have potluck meals and like, not many, but a quarter of the folks just leave and never come to the table. It's like, no, this was just the beginning. This was the prequel. Like the good stuff happens down there as his people break bread together around the table. Something of intimacy happens around the table. We love to gather at the table. It's where we realize who we really are. It's where we realize who Christ really is. When I arrived in the Middle East at like 22 years old, I had these ideas in my mind of who Muslims were and who Arabs were. And my very first night in Jordan, I was in a Palestinian refugee camp. And I had in my mind who Palestinians were too, thanks to our news. And I came in this home of this family that was utterly poor, had nothing. And this woman with all of her children, she comes and she empties out her cupboard. And she makes this feast for me, this stranger that she's never seen a day in her life. And we sit on the floor around this tablecloth down on the floor. We start eating with our hands. And in about 5 minutes, this stranger who I was scared to death of half an hour earlier had become my friend, had become my neighbor. Jesus shows up at the table. And this Good Shepherd group again, we always start at the table. We eat dinner first. And I tell you, I've learned more about my friends, at least as much, at the table as I have during the actual Bible study time. For the last few years, I've learned my friend John, he's a really picky eater. But he's got the most tender heart for Jesus of anyone I probably ever know. And I got to know that at the table. I know my friend Annie, she's like the best cook in the church. No offense to any other great cooks. She's amazing. We love anything Annie makes. She's a great cook. But better than that, she like actually enjoys it. She loves getting to care for people with really good food. She loves it. My friend Elizabeth, she's at the table every other week. And she can cook Southern food that gets to my heart. Like very few people up here can do. She knows what to do with okra. And in my book, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But man, I've learned at the table too that she sees people. And she sees the hurting. And she wants to create space in her life and her world for them. I see this at the table. We learn who each other really are, what our gifts really are, where life really happens, and we all come to life at the table. When that happens, Jesus is there. the risen Jesus, if we're looking for him, we will find him in his word, and we will find him at the table with his people. Come to the table. Then we look at John. John, where do we find the risen Jesus? We talked about her last week. We won't spend much time on her today, but the first person that saw the risen Jesus is Mary Magdalene, before anybody else. And we talked last week about why does she get to see him first, and it's because she just always hung out where Jesus was. From Galilee to Jerusalem to Golgotha to hanging out at his tomb, Mary Magdalene was just always with Jesus. She lived her life so close to him. She wept in his presence. She was fully herself right there in front of him. She slowed down and she stayed right where she knew he was. She loved her Jesus. In your heart of hearts, when do you feel the very closest to Jesus? It's a little different for everyone, but you know when you just feel so close to him. Stay in that place as long as you can. Come back to it over and over again. Mary Magdalene saw the risen Jesus because she just stayed where she knew he was hanging out. In John 20, Jesus appears then to his disciples who are gathered together. We saw this in Luke 2. If we're looking for the risen Jesus, we will find him when we gather with those who love him. Gathering of his people is as important in 2022 as it was in the first century. You notice in Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, almost every one of them is to people who are gathered together in his name. That first time through, Thomas misses out. He's out getting sandwiches or something. He got called to do the lunch run, and he misses Jesus, poor guy. And he comes back, and he's so upset that he missed him. And what is so cool is that Jesus doesn't go off and find Thomas one-on-one and say, "It's all right, Thomas, here I am." No, Jesus waits until the next time when Thomas is gathered with the people, and then he shows up again, and Thomas gets to see him too. There's just something about the people who love Jesus coming together that just seems to make Jesus want to reveal himself in that place. There is power in his people gathering. A lot of you in this room were here on Good Friday night. Holy Week was beautiful all around, but there was something extra special about Good Friday. Good Friday, it's always a service that I love anyway. But it's a service where we come near to the cross and we slow down and we have silence and we have reflection, we have confession, we sing songs of the cross. But there was this moment in the middle of the Good Friday service when I didn't hear it myself, too busy doing all the pastor things. But I heard right after service, I heard Guy and Mick back here. "Hey, Gordy, I didn't know you were back in the closet. Good to see you." I'm like, Guy and Mick were back in this closet. And I heard guys say, whenever we were singing, "Oh, the Wonderful Cross," did you hear the sound of a children's choir in perfect harmony singing with us? Nick said, "Yes, I heard it." He's like, "I don't want to say anything because I thought I'd be crazy." Guy's like, "I heard it too." And so then Guy begins to ask on Facebook the people that were there. I've heard at least a dozen people say there was this moment in the middle of our Good Friday service when we are singing together, "Oh, the Wonderful Cross, oh, the Wonderful Cross bids me come and die and find that I may really live." And a dozen people in this room heard the voice of angels singing with us. This is the gift that happens when his people gather. We didn't ask for that. We couldn't create that. I've never heard of it happening before. It's the gift when God's people gather. He loves to reveal himself in such tender ways. What a gift. So often in the church, I see people that go through slumps. We all go through slumps. And they'll withdraw for maybe a few weeks at a time. And so I'll reach out, "Where have you been? Are you okay?" And over I hear this thing, "I'm just going through some stuff. And so I just want to work on myself for a while. I'll be back." I'm always going to be like, no, don't do that. Don't go work on yourself by yourself. Jesus is found when we gather. He's always loved to reveal himself when we gather. We want to see the risen Jesus. keep gathering with his people. Preaching to the choir, the folks here Sunday after Easter. So go tell your friends. Keep gathering with his people. Finally, John 21. If none of those are working out and we still aren't seeing the risen Jesus, we've got one more way to see him. We've got lots more ways, but one more for today. The disciples are out fishing. They've gone back to fishing. They're not sure what to do with this whole crucified Lord thing. So they're back fishing, and Jesus shows up. And they haven't had any success that night, so Jesus says, "You don't have any fish, do you?" They don't know it's Jesus yet. No, we had. Thanks for asking. He's like, "Try the other side." They do it. Who is this guy? He's not a fisherman telling them what to do. I would think their egos would get in the way and say, "How about you go do whatever you do? We're the fishermen around here." They don't. They put their net on the other side. And up comes this huge catch of fish. And in that moment, Peter says, "It is the Lord." How do we see our Jesus? Risk a little something with him. You see, if they would have thrown that net over and it came up empty, they would have looked really stupid. Who are you to follow this guy? You don't even know who he is. He's not a fisherman. Your ego tells you to tell him to shove it. Risk a little something. Risk looking a little silly to obey his invitation to try something outside the box with him. We find our Jesus when we take a risk with our Jesus every single time. Before COVID, we entered into this beautiful risk together, and it was our youth center. 4 days a week, we had folks all over the church. There were tons of you, all hands on deck, that were helping feed kids and show up on weeknights to hang out with kids, providing this safe place for kids to come and to be cared for, to be seen, to be known. And it was beautiful, and it was good. Some nights there was 2 kids there, and some nights there was 10. There was never huge. It was always meaningful. Because whoever God brought to that room, they were so loved in that place, and it was good. And then COVID happened, and it shut down, and then we got Wednesdays back. And I don't know if that's what God's calling us back into, but that was our risk, and we took it. And I saw the risen Jesus in that place over and over again as we offered ourselves up to care for kids in this community. My question is, what's next? What's next? What are we as a church even doing these days just because Jesus said so? No other reason. What are we doing these days that we have zero control over the results that might even make us look silly if word gets out that we're doing it? What are we doing these days that might call for more of us than any of us thinks that we have to give, but that we have this hunch that we might never know of Jesus' power and presence and love for our community if we don't give it a try? What is it that we haven't done it yet? We're still kind of in COVID mindset. I'm over it. I'm over it. It's time. It's time. I fear that so often we see our risen Jesus not because we risk so little with him. So we don't need to see him because I don't need a Lord when I'm totally self-sufficient. What are we risking with for our Jesus that's so beyond us that he's going to show up or we're going to look like fools? What is it? When you begin to adventure with someone, you actually get to know them. Guy in my relationship, it grew leaps and bounds when we began to adventure together. I think the one time that I first realized I think I might love him was on a bike ride on the Olympic Discovery Trail, a 50-mile ride, and had like 20 miles to go, and it was getting dark. It was like, we didn't time this too good. We're going to have to hurry. And so like this kind of panic mode, rush, help each other along, get there. It was scary. It was awesome. It was this adventure. And there's something about sharing that adrenaline and that vulnerability and that risk that brings stories together in the most intimate way. And that is the good stuff. How are we doing on this grand adventure with our resurrected Jesus? I'm so ready for our church's next big risk in his name. What could it be? Are we asking? Do we dare to ask? Are you waiting for me to ask? Can we ask together? And whatever he reveals, are we all ready to jump in and do it together? That is the good stuff. We will see our risen Jesus together. We will. If we actually want to find him, if we actually want to see him, if we actually want to know him, if we actually want to follow the resurrected Jesus, we have all kinds of ways to do it. Walk the faithful path. Dig into Scripture, in community, best way, but at least dig in some way. Come to the table with his people. Stay close to him. Gather. Dare to risk. Enter an adventure with Jesus. You will find him. He will be faithful to show himself. If we want that, we've got all we need to be in the right place at the right time to receive it. If we want it. The question is, do we want it? Do we want more of this risen Jesus? Do we want it? If we want it, which of these ways is God inviting us to try just this week? I say it all the time, and I believe with all my heart, we can have all of Jesus that we want. We can have all of Jesus that we want. If we feel we really don't have that much, maybe we just haven't wanted that much. But if we want more of him, oh, he is so eager to give us more of him. Do we want it? Would you pray with me? Risen Jesus, living Jesus, Spirit of Jesus, you are right here among us, and you want all of us. Oh, that we might want all of you. Would you show my heart one way to be more open to an encounter with you this week? And would you do the same for my brothers and sisters? This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.